Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. How are you all doing today? I am Kyle, and I would love to introduce my lovely co-host.
Hello, everybody. I miss y'all. It's Dominique.
Hey, everybody. We just want to welcome you all back to Love Variants. It's been a very long time since we've been able to do one of these.
Very, very long.
I think the last one that we actually did, Kylie came home. It was entitled Umbrellas and Rain Boots,
I believe that was the title.
And Kylie had just came home, and so she had gave y'all a little bit of tidbit of who she was early on, and it hasn't, you all have missed so much. Kylie is now one, trying to walk, figuring out what she want to do with her life as we continue to go on.
Falling out, screaming, singing, dancing, laughing, giggling.
Being a one-year-old.
Being a one-year-old girl, which is different for us.
In a home full of boys.
In a home full of boys.
So it's literally mommy and Kylie. That's it.
Yeah.
We have three high schoolers.
Ooh, my God, today. Two freshmen and one sophomore.
And the sophomore is driving.
He's driving.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. I just don't.
That in itself is something special.
It's something wild.
Mm-hmm.
But today, we are going to get into literally what we've been going on, what's been going on in our life for the last year. Just trying to give you guys an update as we get back into doing this thing that we call podcasting. We did really miss you all. We do love you all. And yeah. We just thank you for the support that you have been giving us. Folks been telling us, hey, when y'all coming out with a new episode and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So we're out here now and we're going to do that. And so the title of today's podcast is called Sleepless Nights. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of those lately. And yes. Not just because of Kylie. We really only had maybe about 10 to 15 of those.
Yeah, we can actually count.
Kylie was a really, really kid. Good.
Great baby. Great newborn, I should say.
But, you know, we always start off in prayer.
Yeah.
And so I'll go ahead and lead this out, and then we'll go ahead and do that. All right, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for the encouraging ways that you continue to bless us with simply just waking us up in the morning, to providing food in our homes, yes, to providing the ability to allow when we turn the key in our cars that the car begins to start. Yes, so we just thank you for the little things, and we honor you for the big things, Lord. Yes, we just continue to ask that you allow us to be a vessel as we become a beacon of light for somebody else as we continue to move on throughout this journey called life. And we just ask that you continue to do only the thing that you can, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, and we can't thank you enough. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, good people. All right, my love variant people. How are y'all doing today? Y'all all right? Good. I appreciate that. My lovely wife, how are you doing today?
I am good. Today was a good day.
Today was a good day. Yeah. Shout out to Ice Cube doing his thing. Sleepless nights. So we really haven't had a whole bunch of sleepless nights in the beginning.
Beginning of what, though?
Childhood of Kylie.
Oh, no. Well, we stated before, some people know, some people don't. Kylie was in a NICU for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard to leave her, but, you know, you would force me to go home and sleep. So
yes.
I didn't sleep.
No.
I would lay there and stare at the ceiling until my body was shut down.
Yeah.
And make me sleep. But even then, I felt like my mind wasn't rested, so it wasn't really sleep.
Yeah, it was a difficult process
but
for us.
Once she was home and we got into our hang of things and not the nurse's hang of things,
right?
We were cool.
It was a little bit of an adjustment for everybody in the home, not only because she was the only girl, and she is the only girl in the house. But you know, we changed the home around 3 or 4 times.
Yeah,
just trying to get everything correctly. We are a home of 8.
Yeah,
in a 3-bedroom home. So you all can imagine, just you know, the things that we were doing. We were trying to figure out everybody's living arrangements and trying to make sure Kylie had her own space, which it worked out, but it didn't.
But she also came early too.
Yeah.
So that kind of threw us off.
And
we wasn't expecting her to come
2 months early.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 2 months early.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everything was good once we got settled in.
Yeah.
It was good. We have been able to see her go from somebody that you could literally put in the palm of your hand mm-hmm. to this 20, 25-pound child that is as rambunctious
and juicy,
loving as all get out.
Mm-hmm.
The boy started a new school. Mm-hmm. All of them.
All
of our boys started a new school. We had a good time when it came to that. We got three men at Gien. Shout out to Gien Academy. They're doing some wonderful things. Now that in itself was such a struggle. I spent the good part of the entire summer trying to convince not only the boys, but the boys' mom
mm-hmm.
to allow me to, in a sense, take over and let the boys be the boys at Gien Academy.
Yeah.
Zay was down for whatever. But the boys were, you know, they have been in one school system their entire lives. And so change is always is not the easiest thing to do. So for them, you know, it was like pulling teeth with these two.
They were settled.
They were very content where they mm-hmm. were.
Yeah.
But there's a thing about Gien. Once you go in...
Your life has changed.
You can't come out the same way. Mm-mm. It doesn't matter what you think. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do come out the same way, there's a problem with you.
Yeah.
Rather it being the school that there's a problem for.
That means you totally didn't take any opportunities.
None.
You totally ignored everything that was placed in front of you.
Two of the boys played football.
Yep.
Now that was a.
Ooh, wee Jesus.
That was a struggle.
An adjustment.
That's a better word for it.
Yes, it was an adjustment.
Just in the fact of them simply being in a totally different environment. You know, mm-hmm. you go from being at a predominantly black school in Richmond or in Shaker/Cleveland to mm-hmm. then being in a predominantly black school on 113/162nd.
Because so basically you went from the suburb to the hood.
To the hood.
So it's a whole different adjustment.
It was. It mm-hmm. was. Because none of our boys are hood. That's not where their lives have been. They may try to be that way, mm-hmm. but you know, listen, we drop them boys off, they running home.
You had one grow up in Twinsburg, Garfield,
mm-hmm.
and then you had the other two in Richmond. They ain't know nothing about that.
They don't know nothing about it. Not at all. I think the most that the boys spent was when we went to church on 105. That was the closest thing that they probably had, being able to do that. But the adjustment went well. Glenville went back-to-back state champs for the, you know.
Congratulations.
And they were back-to-back state champs for football and track.
Yep.
And then now they're going to try to three-peat on track.
Yeah.
Which is dope. KJ was a rower this year.
Yes, he was.
He stepped outside of his box. He was forced outside of his box for a lot of it, but he stepped outside of his box, and it was a great adjustment for us. It was a cultural adjustment.
Yes.
You know, because in the black community, most of the time you're playing football or basketball. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not knocking anybody that does play football or basketball because mm-hmm. we understand that, you know, football and basketball is it's a ticket. It's a great out. It's a spot out. But to row crew, that's something different.
Yeah,
it's a very pristine and prestigious type of thing when you say somebody's rowing crew. I don't know anybody that I've actually said, hey,
I've never met a rower.
Kyle was rowing crew or KJ's rowing crew, and I was like, what?
Never.
Where? Again? Oh, that's dope. You know,
yeah,
it was just
dope.
One of those
different.
Wonderful, amazing things.
Let's get into us. What have we done differently? What has happened with you, with Cass? How has that been?
Well, I gotta, I've made some strides
mm-hmm.
when it comes to Cass. I went good and then I went bad. You know, listen to you. You can't always tell people the good without telling them the bad.
That's
sometimes,
right.
You know, you got a lot of people that think that you just are overnight successes and then you don't, you know, well,
How did you get there? You didn't just wake up and was this phenomenal landscaper.
So, yeah, I began to intertwine myself into this group called Mulch. hopefully you all will hear about mulch as we continue to move forward, as life continues to go on. And because of that joining and commencement of that group, we were able to get this bid package for the city of Cleveland. The city of Cleveland was a bid package for about 100K, which sounds amazing, right? It's life-changing for those who have never had your own business and you get a $100,000 contract. It's something different. And I remember sitting in the meetings and we were talking about how people are going to change if we get these bids. And I was like, no, we're not.
Everybody's solid.
We good. You know what I'm saying? Everybody gonna help it out. I won two bids and they were $50,000 each. And I didn't do the bids correctly. I did exactly what they said that we were going to do. I changed. Because I knew what type of ability that it was going to give my family moving forward. And I had done so much recruiting of actual normal customers that by the time the bids came in, it was too much for me to handle. Mm-hmm. I grew way too quickly. Now, I don't regret it by any means. It was a learning experience. Mm-hmm. I had to fully come to the understanding that it was a learning experience because I was down in the dumps for a really long time.
Yeah.
Because I didn't handle the bid correctly. But I was able to still have enough gumption and understanding of what it was that I did wrong, mm-hmm. and then what we did right. So I got some things in the works now to hopefully replace those. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if that comes back as another opportunity, then I will be able to handle it correctly this year. Awesome. A lot better. Now, what about you, Miss Cody?
Well, I went from having a salon loft.
Okay.
At Legacy Village.
Uh-huh. Talk to me.
And paying $400-something a week.
Not a month?
No. A week.
Okay.
$1,800 a month.
Ooh.
Right?
My pocket's hurting already.
I know, right?
Reminiscing about it.
Paying that was very taxing, mm-hmm. especially being at Legacy. It's a nice place to be. However, mm-hmm. you're not seen.
Right.
We're all the way at the top. Most people don't even know it's there. I didn't even know it was there until we were searching for me to go somewhere after having Kylie. Because the salon I was at, you know, closed down. But trying to be there and be successful there was really hard.
Right.
And also, I will say that I didn't push for me as hard as I could have. Mm. I just thought, okay, well, these few people are going to get their nails done. Somebody's going to see it. Like, hey, who does your nails? They're going to come. No, you have to actually put in the work to promote, to push yourself, to make reels and things like that, advertising yeah. for yourself. And I wasn't doing that properly.
Yeah.
So I had good weeks where mm-hmm. I can make $800 in 2 days, or, you know, make a lot of money, to some weeks making maybe $100. You know what I'm saying? And every Monday, Tuesday, that $400 is expected to come out of your account, whether you have a client or not.
Right.
Or whether you have the funds or not. So that was really stressing me out. So I remember talking to you and I'm like, I can't do this. It's stressing me out. I'm at the point where I don't even want to do it anymore. Not because I don't love doing nails, but because I can't afford it.
Right.
And so at that point I was teaching, at a school, a cosmetology school, teaching the nail program. And I liked it. I really, really did. I loved it. And the girls were phenomenal, but I knew something was missing. Just teaching wasn't fulfilling me.
Right.
I knew hands on more, you know, my clients and all that is what made me happy. And so that's when we found, or you found, the salon space.
Shout out to Robert Richardson, my boy.
You found the salon space and you went and looked at it while I was at work. You FaceTimed me. And I was like, all right, tell me what my next steps are.
Right.
And I was nervous as all get out Because I didn't know what to expect. I never had my own salon like right. that. Full service. And I knew I wanted to be full service right. salon. I didn't want to just be a nail salon. I wanted to offer everything. And I'm like, well, maybe they won't accept me, stay bored doing this because I'm only have a nail license. Mm-hmm. But God did that thing.
Yeah, he did.
So I am now a full service salon. I have 2 hairstylists, 2 other nail techs plus me. So 3 nail techs and then an esthetician.
That's amazing.
So dope. So if you're riding down Harvard.
Come on now.
Road past 20007 uh-huh. Harvard Ave. Yes. Look up on that building to see that Goldie Nail Salon sign. And stop on in and say hey to your girl.
Yeah, say hey Goldie. How you doing? For a long time, you know, it was a very pressure situation because I felt that I had pushed you mm-hmm. To get the spot at Solo Salons. Mm-hmm. I pushed you, you know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a leaper. Mm-hmm. I'm a jumper. It doesn't really matter if I got a parachute or not, I'm a jump. And, you know, sometimes you can't grab somebody and have them jump with you at the same time.
Correct.
Because a lot of times they may not just be ready or mm-hmm. they may not understand what it is to jump the same way that you understand how it is to jump.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I've always been the mindset of if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
And we just built it in the wrong place at mm-hmm. Sola. Mm-hmm. Now you've built it at Goldie Nail Salon
mm-hmm.
on Harvard, and that thing chomping.
Yeah, you understand
what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is.
Like, I walk in there now, and I'm just in awe of how far you've come
mm-hmm.
in 3 months, 4 months' time.
Three.
It hasn't even been long.
I don't think it's been a full three.
No, it hasn't been long at all.
No.
And you were at Sola for 6 months, maybe yeah. 7 months.
Not even close to what I do now.
Half of the time that you've been at this spot, mm-hmm. we've renovated the entire spot. Mm-hmm. We've added some stuff. We've mm-hmm. taken a whole bunch of stuff out.
Yeah.
And you are now in the position where you are just loving life
yeah.
when it comes to this. And a lot of times a change of scenery just may be what you need.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do apologize, you know, for pushing you
no,
at the moment
good.
In time that I did
but
push you.
But think about it, though. If it wasn't for that push,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be where I am, right? So I don't look at it as you pushed me in the wrong direction. You were pushing me in the right direction. It's just I needed Sola to realize that I could do it on my own.
Mm, okay.
You know?
Okay,
not even that, to be able to have a space where other people can come in and call yeah. their own
yeah.
as well. Open that door. Like I always told you, I don't want anything from them. I want to be able to help them build their clientele. The, you know, maybe they'll leave Goldie and go open up their own stuff.
Right.
I just want to be that outlet and that support for them. So.
Yeah, I've always considered you, once you got your vision and you told me your vision, that
mm-hmm.
Goldie Nails was going to be the incubator
mm-hmm.
for...
Yep. You didn't understand it at first.
I didn't. What are you talking about?
You're like, wait, so you're not getting a percentage of what they're making?
No. We got bills to pay. What are you talking about?
I don't want nothing from them like that. No. Only thing they're required to do is pay for their booth rent. That's yeah. it. I want nothing else.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, whatever you're doing, God has blessed it.
Yes, he is.
And
he
it's just been amazing.
Definitely has.
It has been
yeah.
amazing in that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So now we go to recently. Again, the title of this podcast is called Sleepless Nights. So let me give you guys a quick backstory. I guess I can. We are in a house that I have now been in as an adult for almost 15, 16 years. I've also been in this house my entire life,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. This is my grandmother's home. My mother was raised here in some form of capacity. I was raised here in some form of capacity. Before you, my two boys were raised here in this capacity. Mm-hmm. And
your first marriage was here.
I wasn't going to say all
but
of that,
I mean,
but
it's
okay.
True. It's your story.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, having the ability to now raise the entire family here
mm-hmm.
was a joy of mine. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? We were able to create. I proposed to you here.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of great memories. in this home. Unfortunately, when we acquired the home, it was a last-ditch effort by our family, in a sense, to save the home from it not being a family home any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And there was basically a lien on the home for back taxes. And we did everything that we possibly could. So anybody that was able to help us out to get to where we are, we truly appreciate it, and it's mm-hmm. been phenomenal.
Yeah.
We didn't miss a payment.
Nope.
For the back taxes. And I do believe that I either skipped over, misheard, didn't pay any attention to what the full aspect of the terms of the agreement were to make sure that we maintain this home. All that I knew is that the back taxes had to be paid. We were on a payment plan for the back mm-hmm. taxes. The home is paid in full. And the only thing that we needed to know was that we were able to save the home. That's yeah. the only thing I cared about.
Yeah.
And I became a homeowner last August. Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. It was greatest thing that I
ever. And I wasn't in that meeting with you.
No.
So
and that's probably why, you know, you probably should have been. Because we probably would have understood a little bit better. But we went to go make our tax payment in February.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told we could not make the tax payment.
Yeah, because she confused me because you were in the car with Kylie. Mm-hmm. And that was my first time actually going down to pay it because you always took care of that.
Right.
And when I went to pay and she gave me this look like, I'm sorry, I can't accept this payment. I'm looking at like, why? Somebody paid it off or something? Like,
right.
That's the kind of faith I was trying to hold on to. Right, like, right. Oh, it's paid in full.
Right.
But she was like, no, you need to take a number and go speak with someone. And then that's when I called you to let you know, like, hey, they're not letting me pay it. I don't know what's going on. They're having me talk to somebody. And then when I got to the counter, that's when she let me know, like, yeah, I see you guys been making your payments. However, you guys didn't pay the previous year tax. And that's where I was confused because, like I said, I wasn't in that meeting with you. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't see any contracts. And she was like, I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't know anything about the previous year payment. I just knew that we were on a payment plan and I know for sure we haven't missed a payment or anything. She was like, no, you haven't. However, it was in the contract. And I'm looking like, what contract?
Right.
I didn't see any contracts.
Right.
And then that's when she told me that, you know, we didn't have the, like, what, $3,100 by that Friday that, you know, we were back to square one with the home.
Mm-hmm. And so I know I did try to do my due diligence, and I called 3 or 4 times
mm-hmm.
Because that was such a blow to mm-hmm. our psyche.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, our faith.
Yeah.
In that aspect.
Huge blow. To
figure out, like, we did everything that we were supposed to
yeah.
in our minds.
Yeah.
And to now get here, why are we in this predicament? Yeah. Why do Again. We have to tell the story that we have to tell?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had moments in time where I know my faith has been rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be in the predicament that we're in now, was just devastating. It was just mm-hmm. like, you know, Lord, for the first time, I felt like a true man. I knew I was taking care of everything. Mm-hmm. I knew that I was providing a yeah. roof over my family's head. We were doing everything. We had vehicles that, you know, we were good on. We mm-hmm. were doing what we had to do.
Everything paid.
Everything was paid. And so then for it to basically have the rug pulled up from under us,
mm-hmm.
it was just like, yo, this just can't be real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to call my people and, you know, try to explain to them. And there were some mixed emotions going on with it. I know my mom is an emotional person. And so she was a lot of anger and hurt and sadness all mixed in one. And mm-hmm. she doesn't know how to decipher which one to bring out at that moment in time. And so, you know, it was a lot of hanging up. It was a lot of, hey, you're not doing what you're supposed to, or mm-hmm. I know you did. And it was such a depressing thing
mm-hmm.
Because it was just like, yo, you know, I had finally got the opportunity to do something right.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was doing it right.
You were doing it right.
And then it didn't feel like I was doing it right. Any longer. And it's just like, yo, how do you come tell your wife, hey, you know, we got to get up out of here?
Immediately.
Yeah. So we had, obviously, you know, we're problem solvers.
Yeah.
And so immediately, you know, we went to pray and we tried to figure it out. And I went to go find true hope. I was like, all right, look, you know, we can figure this out.
As soon as I came out from the place, you were already on the phone with somebody.
What are we going to do? How are we going to figure this out? And we had found a spot, and we got a really, really good offer. Really, really good offer. The house, they were giving us $91,000. Mm-hmm. Sight unseen. I was just dope. I was like, yo, hold on. Run it. You know what I'm saying? Run it. We can figure out everything else. And so we'll pay off
the taxes.
Yeah, we was going to do everything. So with True Hope, they were going to allow us to stay here for another year.
Yeah.
And which would have gave us time to do everything that we needed to do to be able to make sure that everybody's in the right school systems, that whatever they need to do, us time to find a house, us time to rebuild our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Came out, they did the inspection.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 days after doing the inspection, guy from True Hope called me and said, hey, unfortunately, the home is too old. And there are things that we know that we haven't been updated. Now, mind you, again, this house has been in my family for 60 years.
Everything is original.
Everything is original.
From pipes to everything.
Everything is galvanized steel in the basement. So, you know, for folks that understand what that is, that it should be replaced. We all know that.
This should have been updated like 10 years ago.
Right? But again, I didn't know in that aspect of what being a homeowner was supposed to look like, what it was supposed to do or anything of that nature. So they pulled the offer. And it was just like, what are we going to do now? You know what I'm saying? So now I had to then come back to my wife and say, hey, babe, I don't know what we're going to do. And I told you I didn't know what we was going to do. And it
was. Text me or call me?
I don't know.
I want to say you
text me. I don't know. I probably did text you, and it was probably the worst thing I probably could have did. But
I was so confused.
It was. I was too, because I was like, bro, why are you calling and tell me that you pulling my offer? I was devastated. But I didn't want to let it linger, and so I just wanted to get it out. And when I need to shut down, I shut down and I send a text message, because it's easier for me to
write.
Not
when you need to shut down. When you're feeling overwhelmed, you shut down.
Yes, ma'am. So I sent a text message to you and said they pulled the offer. And you're like, what? What are you talking about? And I was like, True Hope pulled the offer. And so
I think I ended up calling you after you did, that text.
And I didn't want to talk to you. But I know that I can't avoid my wife. I need you to be here.
And can't.
Anyway, because you are the person that calms my storms.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to tell you, hey, this is what happens. And so for the next few nights, we were sleepless.
Oh, real sleepless.
Just trying to figure out what we're going to do. How are we going to tell the boys? How are we going to say, hey? Because what we don't want to happen is we never want to come home and our stuff is on the grass.
That's ghetto.
You know what I'm saying? We don't want that aspect of it. Crazy thing is, or the blessing in all of this, was that randomly, as I was door dashing, I got a random text that says, hey, my name is so-and-so. Have you ever thought about selling your home? It was a text message I got randomly out of the blue. And I was like, well, yeah, I have, you know. And I tried to. This is also when I had the True Hope offer. But it was like the same day that he called was the same day that they pulled the offer.
Oh, okay.
Or he sent me the text was the same day that they pulled the offer. And so I remember telling the dude, I was like, well, yeah, you know, I got an offer for 91. So unless you beat that offer, I'm not, you know, we ain't doing that. Now, mind you, I thought 91,000 for this house was crazy.
That's crazy.
But I was going to take it. You understand what I'm telling you? God was going to bless us and we was going to take it.
I mean, the house isn't bad because we've done painting and things like that. We just haven't done any big updates.
Yes.
Like bathroom and pipe, you know, all that good stuff.
But I didn't think I was going to get $91,000 for this house. And so when he said it, I said, oh, run that. You know what I'm saying? I'm signing this paperwork immediately.
Today.
Now, it was difficult signing the paperwork because I felt like I was signing away all of my memories.
Oh, and then you shut down again.
I did. Because it was difficult. Because, again, I've been here my entire life. Mm-hmm. I'm 37 years old. So out of those 37 years, I've never not known this house. And I think that was a very difficult conversation that I had to have with you, because mm-hmm. at the same time, you don't have the same tie to this home.
No,
as I do. You know what I'm
saying?
I've
been here only 3 years.
And, you know, so for all of that, I was like, oh my God, you know, like everybody gonna look at me like I suck. And I'm just this horrible person. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, yo, you know, there are two things that have always consisted in my entire life. Mm-hmm. This house and my granny house. Mm-hmm. That's it. My granny house is still off Coy. My aunt stayed there, and I knew this house was the other thing. It was always the, no matter what, mm-hmm. I knew where this address was. I was about to say it. Mm-hmm. I knew where this address was. And for it to be where I don't have it any longer, it was just mm-hmm. like, yo, what are we doing? How are we doing this? And blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've been able and fortunate enough to go through this process now with you, and we are just waiting actually to make sure that this offer now that we do have, mm-hmm. which isn't as high as it was before.
It's okay.
But it was something that is a blessing, and we have to understand how to be a steward over it.
Yeah.
Now we have the ability to do something else as well, yeah. and something greater.
Well, I could say too, even today with the other inspection for the new offer, mm-hmm. you shut down again.
I did.
And it's like you be cool, and then you heard that knock on the door, and you went into your little shell. And it didn't help that you've been fasting every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we got to come up out of that. Mm-hmm. Because I know for me, when we found out that once we sign this new offer, we have to be out mm-hmm. by a certain date. And that scared the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, I had stability. I stayed in one house until I was 5. Then that new house from 5 to 16. And then, no, from 5 to 16. Yep. And then we moved when I was 16 again until I was 24, 25.
Okay.
I was at the other house.
Okay.
Right. So I've only had moved 3 times until I got married. And then the first time, and we had moved so many times, I'm like, this ain't for me.
Right.
All that moving around right. and not being stable and the kids and no.
Right.
So when I got here with you from, you know, my divorce and then coming here with you, I'm like, cool. Like, now we got stability.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then all of this happened. And I'm like, wait, what?
Right. Right.
Hold on. What you say about a sheriff's sale? Right. What you say? Back taxes? Right. What you talk about?
Right.
So now that we know that we have to be out of here in like a week. And here's where the sleepless night come in. We don't know where we're going.
I have no clue.
We have no idea where we're going when those papers are signed. Mm-mm.
The crazy thing is you don't know how many people you know that are renters
mm-hmm.
until you have to reach out and be like, hey.
Do you know somebody?
And it's amazing, because as we were sitting there cooking dinner today, that's one of the things. 3 of the people that I reached out to uh-huh. for their lawns uh-huh. all rent their homes.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, do y'all know somebody that's renting your home? Yeah. The weird and conundrum and wonderful crazy thing about all of this is I've always told you, if I ever had the money
mm-hmm.
to purchase a home,
mm-hmm.
I would buy a certain home.
Your childhood
home. I would buy my childhood home. Mm-hmm. The actual home that I was raised in from 2 until 11,
mm-hmm.
right? That home is in Cleveland Heights.
Mm-hmm.
I have the utmost fondest memories of that home. The only thing that, you know, the only bad thing that I have in that home is that my brother broke my collarbone in that home.
Gosh, Kyle.
But that home
Let it go, honey.
Okay. That home just happens to actually be
for sale
right now. And I am not petitioning in the public to my wife, because my wife really is okay with it, but she wants something of our own, and so I understand. But If we have the ability to go get this home in Cleveland Heights,
well, you that know, would be my the home dream that has I would want. To build a house from the ground up.
And I'm always for that as well.
That's where my mind is. Especially, I'm in this program called NACA, mm-hmm. N-A-C-A, where they help people. The cool thing is because this home was in your name and not mine.
Right.
So I'm able to apply for it. But since we're married, they're going to look at it as ours anyway.
Right.
But I'm in this NACA program where they help you get a home, low interest rate, no more than 4% or as low as 4%. And you got to go through the program or whatever. The thing is, the program is about from 3 to 6 months or could take up to a year depending on like your financial status mm-hmm. and things like that. So that's the only thing. But the sleepless night come in, like I said before, of not knowing where we're going next week. Because it's coming up quick.
It's coming quick. It's coming quick. We had the inspection today, mm-hmm. and I'm waiting to hear from the guy mm-hmm. So that we can actually sign the papers for closing and mm-hmm. we can start moving this stuff and doing what we got to do. That's the nerve-wracking part. Yeah. That's the part. But in all of this, we understand that we have a friend named Jesus.
Yeah.
And you have always said in everything that you have is that we have a 11:59:59 type of guy.
Yeah.
And we know that no matter what, he's going to come through.
Yeah.
And so you were able to calm me down a lot when it comes to this home and having to be the one to sell the home
mm-hmm.
That's been in the family for 60 years. That feels mm-hmm. like it's such a burden to have on somebody to be like, oh, you're the one that has to do this and,
yeah.
you know, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, I am not too worried about where we're going to have to go
mm-hmm.
because I know he's going to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
I, in the flesh of who I am, would just simply like to know where we're going. You know what I'm saying? It's just everybody else would in that sense as well. I just want to know so that I have an understanding so that we can start planning, so yeah. that we can start doing what we do and making it our own in yeah. that spot.
And I think the crazy thing about God is when thinking about, you just want to know, right? And a lot of times we're like, Lord, just give me your blueprint, mm-hmm. right? Lay it out for me mm-hmm. so I don't know what's coming up. But mm-hmm. that's not how faith works, mm-hmm. right? We know mm-hmm. that faith is the substance of things hoped for mm-hmm. and the evidence of things not seen.
Yes, yes.
So we can't see what's coming up. We just have to trust that God has never failed us, first of all. He's never left us. And he's never just had us out here looking crazy.
Right.
We can't say we're servants of Christ and be embarrassed. He not about to embarrass himself, let alone embarrass us if we are the examples of him. So although we can't see it, like the song says, even though I can't see it, you're working. Even I can't see what you're doing, God, but I know you're doing something. Mm-hmm. I know you got your hand on something just perfect for us that we're not even going to have to try for. It's just going to be put in our laps and handed to us because of our faith alone. Even when, like, in the beginning, it would be times where my faith wasn't strong, but because of your faith, God still stepped in, and vice versa. Your faith wasn't strong, but because my faith, God stepped in, just like the story in the Bible. God didn't heal that man because of his faith. He healed that man because of the faith of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
The faith of his friends to say, listen, we can't get you through the door. We about to open up this rooftop and drop you down. Right? So that's how I feel. Even if you're sad about the situation, it's cool. I can't get you through the door, but we about to cut a hole in this roof and drop mm-hmm. you through so we can get this blessing, so we can get what God has for us. And I think that's the position we're in right now. We're in the position of, God, we can't see it, but we know you got it.
Yeah. And that it's a hard thing to wrap your mind around.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're in the midst of whatever storm that you're in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always one to tell you to put your rain boots on and go jump in the puddles.
Go jump in the puddles.
And it's always so much easier to tell somebody else to go jump in the puddles uh-huh. until it's your turn to actually go jump in the puddles. And then you'd be sitting there like, what are you talking about? It's wet outside. I'm not about to go do that. I don't play in the rain like that.
I can't even fit them boots no more.
No, we ain't doing that. But, you know, we hope that today's episode has been a blessing to so many. Just to let you know that you're not out here by yourselves. Everybody is going through something at some point in their lives. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we just want to make sure that as we continue our journey through life, that we are giving God all glory through the ups and through the downs. Mm-hmm. In the midst of whatever storms that you're coming in or you're coming out of, you know, we just ask that you continue to bless His name and praise His name in every aspect, because God will not put anything on you that you aren't strong enough to handle. Unfortunately, a lot of times we feel like we ain't strong enough. Yeah. And, you know, we just got to understand who our Father is, what kind of strength that we have in it. And so at this time, you know, we do have our little tidbits that we have. My wife has her Dominique's Doses, and I don't even remember what mine is actually called. I want to say it was the kaleidoscopic word of the day. Something and that's like what that. I'm going to go with, because I have no clue.
We did this in a year. We got to refresh.
So, honey, do you want to go first?
You can. Okay. Look like you already had yours.
Yeah,
together.
I do. I got mine. And so I want to give.
I wonder if it's the same.
It's going to be amazing. Okay. If it is. Okay. I want to give a shout out to my wife about this, because my wife is the one who had introduced me to this.
I bet you it was the same.
And it's going to be crazy. So my kaleidoscopic word of the day actually comes from Ephesians 3:20. And it states, "Now to Him who was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is not that is at work within us." Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand that it was a song that y'all had sang one day, and I was like, "Oh, that's my jam," you know. And I'm not a dancer. E320.
Yes.
And it was one of those things where you just be sitting there, and if you fully listen to the words, He says that He's going to do, that He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Mm-hmm. And so if you truly sit there and actually try to fathom what that truly means,
my God,
you're at your wildest dreams.
Wildest.
He's going to do exceedingly above all that.
Yeah.
And that is such an amazing thing. So as you're going through your journey, through your life, and you're just like, "Lord, I can't do this no more." At your wildest dreams of being great as the person that you were supposed to be, just know that He can exceed it.
Yes.
And so much and so far and just like, oh my Lord. And I can't understand what that is as of right now. Mm-hmm. But I am so hoping to be able to feel it and be able to get my E320.
Just got
to
be excited about
it. Oh my Lord.
Be excited about it. Not even knowing what's coming. You just got to be excited. But mine is Matthew 6:26.
Okay.
And I'm just read from there. And it says, I'm in the New Living Translation. It says, "Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today." Mm. And what I get from that is, so like us, we are testament to this. We worry. We worry a lot of the unknown, like we were saying, but we can't. We can't say we trust God and still worry. We can't say we're children of God and think He's just going to have us out here looking crazy. Mm-hmm. If He can provide food for the birds of the air and the lilies and things like that, why wouldn't He take care of us? We are made after His own image. So if He ain't let Himself just be out here crazy, mm-hmm. what makes you think He going to leave us out here crazy? So that's what I want to say. Don't worry about it. God is going to do what He always does, and that's come in right on time every time. in the late in the midnight hour, God turns it around for our good. And even when it looks like it's bad, don't forget that everything works together for the good of them that love him. Mm-hmm. So as long as we love him and as long as we have faith, everything's going to be all right. It's impossible to please God without faith. That's word. And we know word is our foundation and our map to serving God. We can't serve God without having faith and without trusting and believing that he's going to take care of every need.
Amen. Amen. Well, everybody, my good people, our variants, this has been a wonderful episode. I thank you, my wife, for being here in this journey with me.
Absolutely.
Even though we have our sleepless nights. So, you know, as we continue to move on, as we go on, I leave you guys with these three questions. First, have you experienced something where you just feel lost? If you have, you know, go ahead and send us a message or whatever that you have. And, you know, just say, you know, just simply listen to this and think about that moment where you were just lost. And it's like, how do I get through that?
Mm-hmm.
Two, have you ever felt hopeless where all your nights were sleepless?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you've told me, when everything feels hopeless and everything seems a mess, mm-hmm. that God is about to do all the best work that he has. And then lastly, I ask you, have you ever had a person that preached to you or gave you this, in a sense, an ultimatum that, hey, this has to be this way. And if it's not this way, then this ain't going to work. And it felt like a yin and yang system. But then when that person switched it over, it didn't apply to them the same way, or it didn't feel like it applied to them the same way. That's the question I want to know. Have you ever had a yin or yang situation?
Mm-hmm.
... That's how I leave you all. You can see, you can listen to us on all of the reviews and podcasts. So you can get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Cast, all of that good stuff. We will be hitting YouTube soon with Hanging with the Waltons. But again, this is Love Variants, and you can email us at loveVariants@gmail.com. And you can find us with Love Variants for all of the episodes that we have prior and anything we have going forward. We thank you all. Thank you for listening to us. Be blessed.
Be blessed, y'all.
Peace.
Bye.